You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Dog Pound, join the official fan club of the Cleveland Browns, the Browns backers. Join now and take your experience as a Browns fan to a whole new level with exclusive access, giveaways, Browns backer watch parties, and more. Register now for free at fans.clevelandbrowns.com. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you here in the Dog Bowl in Berea, talking Browns needs. A lot of people are kind of thinking what I'm thinking. First three picks, get in there, come out of there with a defensive tackle, an outside backer, and a wide receiver. With those first three picks, I would love that. I think that would be great. I love Nate Reed at nreed86 says 12 Devontae Parker, 19 best D tackle available, second round Max Williams, signed Cecil Shorts the third, which is something I've been a proponent of, to make him the number two receiver. Yeah. All of a sudden you've got an upgraded pass catching core that is young, that can grow and develop with you while you have a couple veterans in there as well. That would be great. You get the defensive tackle, and then I would go immediately and look for pass rushers, you know, either get into the second round at the end of the second round, or with your third round picks, get after those pass rushers for this team. 216-578-0850, keeping this discussion going. You guys are into it. I like it. Mark in New York talking about the first round for the Browns. What's up, Mark?
Hey, greetings from New York, guys.
How you doing, man?
We're doing well. Hey, I got a little bit of a different take on this. So I got positions, not names. So last year, I kind of viewed it as a tale of two seasons. In the first half of the year, we had a defense that bent but didn't break. And in the second half of the year, we had a defense that got slashed. So I'm kind of with you a little bit. I think the line needs to be improved. I'm still concerned about a corner. And if we just don't think, if there's a really good cornerback available, I'd be happy with picking up another cornerback. And I do think the wide receiver slot is important. But if one of the top three guys isn't available, I think we can't ignore the tight end, and a really great tight end, if we don't bring back Cameron.
The problem is, I don't know who is that really great tight end. That's the issue.
I don't know if there is one, but I think that between a wide receiver and a tight end, we need one of those positions to be severely upgraded.
I would agree with that. You have to have that difference maker again in the passing game. Mark, appreciate your thoughts. Now, speaking of, we told you Josh Norris from Roto World, he had his mock draft posted today. Again, Todd McShay had the Browns go offense, Devontae Parker, and then the tackle Eric Flowers. Josh Norris has the Browns at 12 going with Devontae Parker. Says, I keep reading Browns fans saying the team's decision makers do not believe in drafting receivers early. That is not true. Reports stated they were seriously considering selecting Brandon Cooks last year. I know they were high on Odell Beckham, and they love Sammy Watkins, who they would have drafted. They stayed at 4. Parker is a threat in contested catches and has yards after the catchability for his size. He then has the Browns come back at 19 with Danny Shelton. Now, I don't know that Shelton's going to be there. He says he's probably going to be drafted much earlier. He's going to be best in a rotation where he can, if his flashes can appear to be consistency. If he's not there, he's got a guy like Shane Ray as an edge player still available for the Browns. Malcolm Brown, Texas, he would be the perfect guy for the Browns. Many think kind of plugging that middle, he would still be available in Josh Norris's scenario. So Devontae Parker, Malcolm Brown, to me, sounds like a nice win at this point.
Absolutely. I think you get a solid one or two at wide receiver, I would hope. Miles Austin would be considered on coming back to Cleveland and the role that he played here on third down, whether it's with Brian Hoyer or somebody else. But then again, you would, as you said, go offense, defense, everybody wins. Everybody gets an immediate upgrade at a position of need.
And people talking about free agent tight ends, Doug Mather, DMather258 tweets us, Charles Clay, tight end free agent. I would love Charles Clay. I think Charles Clay, it would be a great fit for this team. You can use him in the backfield as a fullback at times if you wanted to do that. You can flex him out. He can win from the slot. He can win in line. Charles Clay is a very complete tight end who has played very well with Ryan Tannehill down in Miami, been very versatile and very productive. He's somebody that I certainly would look at. Tim O'Rourke says, what about Mercedes Lewis? I haven't been a huge Mercedes Lewis fan.
Seems me neither.
Stiff to me, hasn't really ever lived up to his potential
No.
or his hype.
I agree.
And I think he probably costs more than I would want to be spending on a guy like Mercedes Lewis. Mike in Youngstown, welcome to CBD.
Gentlemen, how you doing?
Good, man.
Hey, a couple things. I know everybody gets excited with the mock draft, but I don't know how much money we're going to spend in free agency, but I think there's definitely some needs out there for us. And I agree with you guys. If we were going to take an offensive tackle, I love Sharif out of Iowa, but you know I don't know where he's.
People
where
say he's going to slide. He's going to kick in and play guard, and could be like Zach Martin, Joel Bitonio, which would be good. Listen, if you can do that, and you all of a sudden have four guys at that level in the interior, you'd be in very good shape. You know, guard to guard. All of a sudden, guard to guard, you're incredibly solid. If you especially if you want to run more inside zone, that helps. I don't know that it's that huge of a need, but, you know, all of a sudden then John Greco becomes a backup. So when you take a guy who is a competent starter, make him a backup, that could be good for you if that's how it would play out. I do know that this team believes that you win up front, getting younger and getting more athletic and getting better on the offensive line. Certainly, it wouldn't surprise me if that's the way the Browns go, and maybe they think that the depth at receiver is such that they could draft a receiver later on and address the offensive and defensive lines early.
You're right to a certain regard, but the one thing that I would hope that Ray Farmer and this organization takes in hand is that they draft at 12 and 19 or whatever they do in the first round, or even will consider first and second round, that they have the win now mentality. You know, and I think in some cases, adding depth or moving a guy like Greco, you know, back as a backup, it's a luxury to have that. But when you have holes and you can significantly upgrade at a position at 12 and 19, and again, getting a guy that could come in and start immediately at guard and have a swing guard at Greco as a backup or even center at all three positions is a luxury. But there's more opportunity to gain a competitor and a talent that this team needs right now, if in fact they are in that win now mentality.
Well, I think they want to win now. They want to improve now, but with the goal to get to the point where they can have ultimate long-term success for this team and for this city and this organization. Steve in L.A. Steve, how you doing out there?
Okay, sir. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I just want to say this, man. If the Browns are really, really, really trying to win, man, right now, our secondary is our bread and butter.
Yep.
You cannot let Buster Screen go nowhere, man. You got to re-sign that dude. You got to bring him back and then go at other positions, you know, other places, man. But our secondary, you got to bring that dude back. That's hands down. It ain't no question. That ain't even a discussion. That dude is gritty. He's smart. That dude is a football player, man. We got to bring him back.
And does a lot of that have to do with the uncertainty at what would happen at that opposite corner of Joe Hayden?
Yeah, are you ready to turn that over to Justin Gilbert? Or Pierre Desir? That's a big question. That's a big question for this team.
Well, you know what? But on that, man, Justin Gilbert already showed he don't have it. And you can utilize him as punt returner. That's what he did in college, too. You got to utilize what you have first before you start going out there bringing in other young dudes to try to blend with the other young dudes we already have. That's where our problems are. There's a lot of veterans out there. You got to bring them veterans in. The B.J. Raji out there. There's a lot of guys out there that can help these young dudes develop on the field. And that's what we need.
I think you do, and that's what they did with the Carlos Dansby or Dante Whitner. You have to be very careful to bring in guys that are veterans just because they're veterans if they can't play. A guy who would be a nice fit, certainly for our needs on the defensive line, would be a guy like Terrence Knighton. He would be very good from the Denver Broncos, an interior D-line player. He could be good. Nick Fairley, not really that veteran leader, but has the upside and the talent to be huge against the run. I think Terrence Knighton would be ultimately, when I look at the free agent defensive tackles out there, Terrence Knighton to me would be a great fit for this team, one of the best run defenders in the NFL. He would play, plug the middle, and that would free you up to do something else in the draft. You probably still want to get a guy, but it would make it maybe not a first-round priority for you in the draft, which would allow you to go somewhere else. The Buster Screen debate is interesting, and I think it'll say a lot about the overall philosophy of what the Browns are trying to do, because Buster Screen right now is certainly the second-best cornerback on your roster. But how much are you paying Buster Screen, and when you project it out, is he going to be worth that money to you if Justin Gilbert becomes the guy you want him to, or if Pierre Desir does? Because I think it's certainly within the realm of possibility that Pierre Desir could be the number two corner here. And then you're paying him big money to be a nickel corner. At 5'9", he just doesn't have the size that you're looking for. The Browns would still have two smallish corners out there. And you saw the problems a guy like Buster had when he went against Mike Evans. Buster, I thought, had a very, very good season for this team. Certainly a starting-level cornerback in this league. The question just becomes, do you want to tie that money up in a guy like Buster? And what's the market going to be for a guy like Buster? Do you have to bid to try to keep Buster Screen here?
Right. Is he going to get paid like a one out on the market, and you've got to pay him like a one, even though he'll be a true two?
Or maybe
not,
a three.
Or if not a three here in Cleveland. The one other thing, just to comment off of Steve in L.A.'s comments, is when he talked about Justin Gilbert going back and being a punt returner, is it's very frustrating to me, and if I were a fan, that's where maybe some frustration lies is. You know, yes, we heard from Barkevious Mingo at a Remote and Discount Drug Mart how he wants to be healthy his second year in this new scheme, how he wants to rush the passer, but essentially he's going to play that pass coverage guy. And then you get Justin Gilbert returning punts, so you have two top 10 picks of the Cleveland Browns within the last 4 years playing a role that they weren't drafted to play in, which is very, very frustrating. It's a hard sell, you know, for them to have him just in a punt returner role or just in a pass coverage.
He's got to become your number two corner.
They have
that's
to.
That's the issue
they
with
have
Justin
to.
Gilbert and
or
Buster.
Or it's a total whiff.
Right. And that's the dilemma facing the Browns, I think, with that particular position, which I think will be the most interesting and difficult free agent decision that they have to make. We'll be with Buster Skrine and what they decide to do there. When we come back, we'll continue the phones going. 216-578-0850. Capologist Joel Corey will be with us from CBS Sports at around 2:30, and he will talk about the free agent market, what he thinks it could be for a guy like Buster Skrine. What does he think the Browns should do with their money? Where would it be best spent this offseason? Joel Corey will be with us when we come back around 2:30. On this CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR. Show you what you wanna see and take you.